The information discussed by the host and guests on this talk show is meant to be informational only. Listening or calling in to ask questions for our guests does not create a patient-doctor relationship. Rely on your own doctor or healthcare provider's medical advice to treat or diagnose any conditions you may have. Nothing discussed on this talk show is meant to replace your doctor's medical advice. You should never stop your current medical treatments or delay getting medical treatment because of anything presented in this program. If you want more information about a medical condition or treatment discussed on this program, talk to your doctor.
It's time for Health Check with Heidi Godman, a daily dose of health and wellness information. Call or text Heidi your questions at 373-1220. That's 373-1220. And now here's Heidi Godman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. Hope you're doing well on this great day. We have a very, very interesting program lined up for you today. In a little bit, it'll be time for our weekly brain boost, and we're going to be talking with a very prominent neurologist here on the Sun Coast, Dr. Dean Sutherland, all about the risk of falls. Really cool new study out that talks about how virtual reality and treadmill training may be linked to helping older adults escape falls or prevent falls. So any kind of exercise is going to be helpful. But what if you add a little virtual reality to it? Cool new study was done on this, and we're going to be talking about those results and how it may help you. So stay tuned for that. But we are going to start out today by talking all about some different skin conditions, because of course we always want to look our best, but remember that your skin is your largest organ. And you absolutely want to feel your best and take great care of yourself. And to do that, you've got to take care of your skin. So we are going to be speaking all about different skincare foundations and things like that you might use on your face and some ingredients that you can find in them that are not so healthy. We're going to be talking about a condition, a little pesky condition called sebaceous hyperplasia. A lot of people get that. It's kind of hard to treat. We're also going to be talking about excessive sweating. And I'm not talking about just from the heat, which we're experiencing right now, but some people just tend to glisten a little more than others. Can you do something about it? Apparently, yes, you can. And who is going to give us advice about all of this? Our great friend, Dr. Manjula Jegasothy, who joins us now. She's the founder of the Miami Skin Institute. Hi, Manjula.
Hi, Heidi. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Yeah, so this is so incredible. I saw the FDA come out with a warning recently about mercury poisoning in various skin products. And I said, hey, what if we talk about this? And, you know, then you shot back. That's just one ingredient that you might want to be concerned about. There are numerous ingredients that we have to be careful about. Tell us a little bit about this.
Absolutely. Yes, the FDA, in my opinion, you know, came out a little late with this mercury warning. In fact, in the early part of the last century, I'd say from, you know, the late 1800s to about 1950, most of our makeup had some form of mercury or lead and other heavy metals inside within their compilation. They give them color, particularly lipsticks and eye colors. Another one is arsenic. And so when I first started practicing, we'd commonly see elderly individuals with, you know, really sort of mottled purple complexions. And we, you know, and that was a common board question and such. And it's skin poisoning with the heavy metals. So this warning is great to remind us, but the companies, for the most part, have become a lot better about not putting these heavy metals in their products.
But where are you going to find products that contain mercury or other types of metals?
So those metals tend to be dark, and so they tend to lend a dark color to whatever it is that they are in. So, you know, you would tend to be more likely to find them in older lipstick formulations or lip liner pencils or eyeshadows or eyeliners that have color to them, like purples and dark plums and burgundies and those kinds of things. That's where you're going to find the actual ingredients.
What about things that are made out of our country? Are they also maybe full
yes,
of questionable ingredients?
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that's why the FDA came out with that warning, because I think, you know, they were kind of seeing an influx of products from places like China and the Philippines, where, you know, those regulations aren't as strict. And it's a cheap and easy way to render a product to have the color that you like it to have.
So how do we spot these kinds of things? I mean, you pick up a bottle or a tube and you're reading, and it's all chemical kinds of terms. You don't know what these things are.
Sure. So for the most part, like I said, in American products, American-based companies, they don't use them. The few that may use them would be sort of very, very cheap dollar store brands, which I kind of consider not a good idea anyway, because they tend to cause a lot of allergies. But I tell people, I have a lot of patients who come from South America with all kinds of products and that really don't have accurate labeling. So I tell people, if you're not, you know, seeing the words mercury, lead, arsenic, et cetera, what you might see is something like mercuric chloride or some sort of salt formation or salt formulation of that heavy metal. So look for something that looks like a similar word. And if it's in, you know, obviously in another language, if it's in Spanish or, you know, and that's typically what I'm saying. But if it's in Asian, you know, you're going to have to figure it out from the, you know, from the ingredient list if it has words like that. But I also think that if you don't even see words like that or translate words like that, you need to at least, you know, look for things that the products that have more preservatives and more complex, difficult names, the more likely they are to be hiding, you know, some sort of heavy metal.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this can be a real risk because so many people get things on the internet, you know, and who knows where they're really coming from. So maybe try to stick to a U.S.-based company. But even then, plenty of manufacturers of skincare products or makeup are putting things into these products that maybe we don't want on our skin. Can you give us a little guidance of what we do want and what we want to avoid generally?
Sure. We like, you know, the word petrolatum is always a safe and inert ingredient to look for. Glycerin is sort of mixed. It gives a nice cosmetic feel to products, but some people are allergic to it. So, you know, watch the glycerin if you have sensitive skin. Things like witch hazel is very benign and people tend to like it. Of course, my favorites are glycolic acid, retinol, and vitamin C because they do good for the skin and, you know, they tend to not cause a lot of irritation or allergies when used properly. So those are good ingredients to look for. And then everything else, you know, I like silicone because it sits on the surface of the skin and doesn't clog pores. But I don't like things that, like I said, have anything that's a really long name that you can't pronounce. Cocopropomyl stearate, you know, things like that. And those are common ones. The stearates are all oils that can cause clogging of the pores. And all the other ones that have really long names can cause allergies. And like I said, it tends to be a way that manufacturers can then hide minute amounts of heavy metals. You know, they only have so much space on the ingredient list. So if they have a lot of long ingredients, then the last two or three, they can probably get away with dropping. Mm. And so you'll never know.
Sure, sure. So in general, you want to stick to things that have ingredients that hopefully your dermatologist is advising you to look for or things that you're telling us to look for. And if it has a lot of names that you just don't recognize, I guess you could always ask your doctor or look it up. But is there an easier way to do it? Are there just companies that, well, we know these companies are reliable?
Yes. I think that you should look for ingredients that you can pronounce. If you can pronounce it, if you can read it and say the word, then it's probably a better ingredient. Not, it doesn't have as many preservatives and that sort of thing. In terms of companies that have taken a stance on using, you know, good ingredients that are organic or even certified organic. Certainly Aveda is one of those companies. Origins is one of those companies. I think that, you know, there are some newer companies that are trying really hard to use more botanicals and organic products, such as Peter Thomas Ross. I'm liking Dr. Carver's for men. It's a skincare line. That's kind of the new, you know, Kiehl's, but in department stores. So, yes, you know, I do think the American companies are trying harder to not only be more eco-friendly to the environment, but also to your skin.
Terrific. All right. Well, there is so much more to talk about, but we need to take a quick break. So, everybody, in the meantime, if you want to check out Dr. Manjula Jagasothy, you can go to MiamiSkinInstitute.com. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be right back after this.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Attention, women. Recent studies have shown that talcum-based baby powder and shower-to-shower have been linked to ovarian cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and have used these products, you and your family may be entitled to substantial cash compensation. Johnson & Johnson has been ordered to pay the family of a woman who died of ovarian cancer and used their talcum powder brands $72 million. Time is limited to file your claim. Injury Help Desk has set up toll-free numbers to help. If you or a loved one use Johnson & Johnson or shower-to-shower talcum-based powders and have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, you could be entitled to substantial cash compensation. Call now, 800-211-5779. That's 800-211-5779. Don't wait. Call 800-211-5779. 800-211-5779. Time is running out. Call 800-211-5779.
This is Henry Detweiler. Folks ask me how we can sell our fresh produce and our fresh fish, deli meats and cheeses, and grass-fed beef at such great prices. Well, it's not easy. Detweiler's Farm Market is located at 6000 Palmer Boulevard in Sarasota and at 1250 Highway 41 Bypass in Venice. Visit DetweilerMarket.com or like us on Facebook. Detweiler's Farm Market, always eat fresh for less.
Did you know when you donate or shop at Goodwill, you are changing lives through the power of work? With the sales of donated goods and philanthropic dollars, Goodwill is able to assist people with disabilities and other barriers to employment by providing job skill training and employment opportunities. In fact, in 2015, Goodwill Minnesota served 22,739 people. Thank you for supporting Goodwill, and for more information, visit experiencegoodwill.org.
Stonegate Bank specializes in community association banking, offering a wide variety of services, including certificates of deposit, money market accounts, and payment processing, and a staff with many years' experience in association banking. Stonegate Bank's West Florida locations are in Sarasota, Venice, Inglewood, Tampa, Pine Island, Fort Myers, and Naples. Call us today to discuss your association banking needs at 941-237-2050. Stonegate Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Did you know that Sarasota County Sheriff's Animal Services has a constant supply of adoptable cats and dogs looking for forever homes? Make Animal Services your first stop when you are looking for a new pet. They're open 7 days a week. Please visit their shelter on Bee Ridge Road, east of I-75, or find them online at sarasotasheriff.org/animals, or you can call them at 941-861-9523. That's 861-9523.
You can stay connected with everything happening in Sarasota, Bradenton, and Venice by visiting our online stream at WSRQradio.com.
Welcome back to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. If you're just joining us, my guest today is my friend Dr. Manjula Jegasothy. She's a Harvard and Yale trained aesthetic dermatologist. And we're going to be talking now about a condition that can affect a lot of people. It's called sebaceous hyperplasia. And it sounds like a scary thing, but it just kind of shows up as little bumps here and there. Manjula, tell us what it is.
Sure. Sebaceous hyperplasia is actually a very common thing. I mean, I think both you and I were discussing that we've each had it at some point in our lives. What they really are, they're little white, yellow, or pink bumps that are the size of the head of a pin, and they're caused by enlargement of normal oil glands in the skin. Now, why do these oil glands get enlarged? It's a couple of reasons. One is just that you're going through perhaps a hormonal phase where you're making a lot of oil, and so these glands get enlarged. Another reason might be that you're just, you know, spending a lot of time in hot weather, and so you're sweating a lot, and so that's causing the glands to become a little bit enlarged. And then the last reason, which is probably the most common that I see patients for, is that it's kind of a long-term sequela, we say in medicine, or result of having had mild rosacea for a long period of time. It eventually enlarges the oil glands all over the face.
Okay, and how many oil glands are there on the face? I mean, it's a lot, right?
There's one associated with every single pore. So we're talking thousands.
Thousands and thousands. So there are all these reasons why the oil glands can become enlarged. And what happens when they become enlarged? It doesn't look like a pimple. It looks a little bit different.
No. Like I said, it's the size of a pin, the head of a pin, and it can be white, it can be yellow, it can be light pink, or a combination of all three. Occasionally, if they're bigger, they can have a little tiny blood vessel or capillary running through it. I guess the reason most people realize that there's something other than a pimple is that they try to pop them themselves or extract them themselves, and nothing comes out. They realize that they're solid, and then that's when they come to see me.
And so, I think popping any pimple is probably the worst thing you could possibly do. I think we all learned that as teenagers. Hopefully nobody does that. And it's not going to help now with this, as you're saying. So what can you do to get rid of it?
So I actually do a procedure called hyfercation. It's hyfercation, if you want to look it up. It's basically using a very low-energy cautery needle that just basically I touch to the lesion, and it almost evaporates it. It burns it like you would burn a little ball of grease.
Okay, and then what is that doing to the oil gland?
It's literally frying the oil gland in its own grease, in its own fat, and destroying its capsule. So it needs to be done very carefully by a properly trained, I think board-certified dermatologist, but someone who definitely is experienced with hyfercation, and because it needs to be done only to a certain depth on the skin. You can burn them to the level of the epidermis where they're located, but you can't burn any deeper to the level of the dermis or it will scar or hyperpigment.
Yeah, it was
they evaporate.
They evaporate. Okay, so I was just going to ask, is it going to leave little white dots all over your face for people who have a lot of those?
No, if done correctly, you will have a mild gray, kind of looking very thin scab for 2 to 3 days after the procedure, which then I tell people do not pick or slough or do anything with, just leave it alone. I give them a healing cream called Biafine, which is prescription. And then after that, they kind of self-slough off in the shower and things like that. You don't even notice the scabs kind of coming off. They just do. And by 5 days, your skin is smooth and you don't have any scars or marks.
So then you're not going to have it recur because you completely zapped that one oil gland too, right?
Right. Well, I tell people that, I tend to be careful. So, there might be one or two cells of it left. And so maybe in a period of a year to 2 years, that might come back. But the problem is whatever the forces were that caused them in the first place are unlikely to go away. It's not like you're going to move away. It's not like your hormones aren't going to fluctuate in the future. It's not like you stopped having rosacea. So all the reasons behind them still exist. So you will produce more in other areas, in other parts of your face.
Sure. Now, I looked it up. I was looking at some photos of this online because I have one or two. And I'm not even sure about the second one. But, nobody wants any of these things. But I've seen some photos on the internet of people who are just covered in these things. Tell me about some of the worst cases you've seen.
Well, it's interesting because probably some of those internet pictures you saw are so severe because some of these people have genetic abnormalities that actually cause this as a marker for, remember we were talking about skin markers for other systemic diseases?
Yes.
This is another one of them where if they have the gene for thousands of these, then they likely have a gene for other things as well. And so they need to be checked out by their primary doctor as well.
Is this typically linked to something else? Is it commonly associated with another underlying condition?
Not commonly, but a few of them are linked to different genetic disorders that are not really cancerous or anything like that. I think that, they might be linked to some neurological issues and things like that. But again, that would be caught when the child was born and developing.
So, oh, sure.
I just think it's a good idea. Just when anything crops up on your face like this, like in thousands, you should get checked out.
It's your body talking to you. But if you have one or two, then it's just pesky, and
yes,
then it's just a problem.
If you have up to 50, it's just pesky. It's not anything to be concerned for.
Up to 50. Do you see that often, people with up to 50 of these?
Yeah, I treat a lot of rosacea patients, and so I'll see someone with 50 at least once a week, and I burn them up almost every day. And so someone like you with just one or two, I'd burn it, and in all likelihood, it would never come back, and you'd be done.
Sure, sure. Well, is there a way for people listening who don't have any of this to prevent it from occurring at all? And what about people like me with just one or two? Can you keep it from getting worse?
I don't think so. Once you have it, I think it has to be burned off. I haven't seen any other method to either prevent it from getting bigger or to remove it. But you can definitely prevent it by being very diligent about oil control in general. So if you have rosacea, obviously treat it. If you have it because of hormonal fluctuations, you can figure out if you need to get not necessarily hormonal replacement therapy, but maybe a mild testosterone gel or soy gel or something with your gynecologist. And if you just have one or two and it's oil related, as a lot of people, you know, have in Florida, I would say use a very good salicylic acid product like a cleanser, such as Neutrogena oil-free acne wash or Clean and Clear, and use that like a mask. So you put it on and wear it until it dries for about 20 minutes once or twice a week, and that will be really good for oil control and make these coming out, sebaceous hyperplasia, much less likely.
That's good. All right. So that's something everybody can try. What about, I mean, mentioning things that come in a tube, are there any things that you can put on sebaceous hyperplasia bumps if you don't want to do hyphrication or somebody can't afford it?
I haven't found that any of the over-the-counter wart removers are very effective. They tend to sort of irritate skin in that area, and they tend to sort of erode the skin, and you might get even a little skin ulcer or whatever, and then the hyperplasia comes back because it comes from a deeper place than those over-the-counter methods can get rid of.
That sounds a little scary anyway, using wart removal on your face. That sounds kind of tough.
Right. I agree.
What about some of the prescription creams? Are there any things like that that can help?
No, I haven't found that. There's been nothing in the literature. And this procedure works so well. Every single dermatologist has a hyphricator in their office, so it's standard of care. It's what we do. It works very well, and it's not been tampered with for my whole career. It's
sure.
What we do for it.
Yeah, and it's been around a long time. But not every dermatologist has gone to Harvard and Yale like you have. Takes a special touch. And you also have a background with needles. Is that right? And I mean sewing needles.
Yes. I always tell my patients that, you know, the reason I think I'm such a good person with fine motor work and handiwork and why I inject such good Botox and filler is because I spent hours every summer vacation with my grandmother, who was a wedding seamstress, and she taught me how to needlepoint and how to do fine embroidery and a lot of really fine handiwork. And my mother actually sewed my clothes, and so I would help her do that. And so I think that all of that fine motor work has really helped me in my current practice.
Yeah, so needles are sort of second nature to you.
Yes.
Absolutely. And tell us what else you do over there at Miami Skin Institute.
Yeah, I think the latest thing that we've been doing that people really like is, you know, I used to have to turn away patients who asked about cellulite for years and years. And, you know, there was a different cellulite cream on the market almost every month in the past 2 decades. But now we're using radio frequency skin tightening lasers. I have a Viora. A lot of my peers have one called an Alma XL. A lot of my friends have one called Exilis. But any one of them is wonderful for smoothing cellulite now. And when you get one treatment, you will see your cellulite improve 20 to 30%. And it's permanent. I mean, you're not going to get that cellulite again. We're not talking like those LPG or massage machines where you have to go every week forever and it looks a little better, but as soon as you stop the treatment, it comes back. This is not the case. It's a real treatment for cellulite, and it's the first that we've had, and it's only about 2 to 3 years old.
Holy cow. That's going to be big news to a lot of people. All right, well, we're going to have to talk about that, too. You'll have to come back, and we'll chat about that. But we are going to keep talking to you about a different topic. We are going to take a quick break first, though. So everybody, please stick around. More with Dr. Manjula Jegasothy in just a minute. And in the meantime, you can check her out if you go to MiamiSkinInstitute.com. You can see all the things she does and check out her background on lots of before and after pictures. Just very, very interesting to look at her website and see her interesting personal history there, too. You are listening to Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be back after this.
Don't have a radio nearby? Listen online at WSRQradio.com. WSRQ, the voice of Sarasota Manatee.
Hello, it's Laura Ingram. Catch me live weekdays 9 till noon, and the Laura Ingram Show will deliver unparalleled analysis, hilarious at times, frustrating, educational, always thought-provoking, on the culture, politics, and beyond. And remember, it's all right here, The Laura Ingram Show, weekdays 9 till noon, only on WSRQ 106.9 FM, 1220 AM, the voice of Sarasota.
Many people feel anxiety over going to the dentist. At Bayview Dental Associates, we are here to ease your fears and to cater to your needs in a relaxed, caring environment. For nearly 30 years, Bayview Dental has been providing affordable, personalized care. We offer general, cosmetic, and implant dentistry, professional cleanings, teeth whitening, and Invisalign. With 6 convenient locations, you can expect something to smile about when you visit Bayview Dental. Call us today at 941-203-3233.
Today is the best day to buy and invest in our appreciating real estate market. Kay Weinfordner with Exit Dream Team Realty has been providing real estate services since 1997 to Sarasota and Manatee counties. For a free consultation for any of your real estate needs, such as renting to own, selling, buying, or investing, contact Kay today. Call her at 302-1707 or find her online, kweinfordner.com.
Welcome back to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Dr. Manjula Jegasothy. She's a Harvard and Yale-trained aesthetic dermatologist. She's over in Miami, Southwest Florida, founder of the Miami Skin Institute. And we get to talk to her all the time about just the coolest, most innovative things that are going on. And since it is so hot out there right now, we thought this would be a good time to talk about people who might be perspiring just a little too much. So excessive sweating. If this is you, there turns out there is something that you can do about it. Manjula, tell us about it.
Sure. Let's start by talking about the fact that there are two kinds of sweat glands, the eccrine sweat glands and the apocrine sweat glands. Now, the eccrine sweat glands are the ones that you typically, you know, on your face, on your neck, on your nose, you know, the ones you need that are for temperature control. So when it's very hot, you sweat all over. That's your eccrine sweat system. It doesn't typically smell that much. And, you know, it's necessary for thermoregulation. So, you know, that heat-based sweating is fine. That's a necessary evil in terms of temperature control. But the apocrine sweat glands, we think, are vestigial, just like your appendix or anything else where we thought that it was some sort of signaling system in our caveman days, or perhaps even pheromonal for gender attraction. So that's the sweating that occurs in your underarms, on your hands, on your feet, and on your groin. And particularly on the underarms and in the groin, it tends to be the but the smell. Some people, unfortunately, have an overproduction of fluid only from their apocrine sweat gland. So their hands, their feet, their groin, and their underarms. And this tends to cause marked body odor, or it's just embarrassing. It shows up on your shirt when you're nervous, when you're trying to do a presentation at a meeting. People who suffer from this know. They are always embarrassed to shake people's hands because their hands are so wet, things like that. So that condition is called hyperhidrosis, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay, so hyperhidrosis. If you have this, then there is help for you. And that would be pretty impressive that you could stop someone from sweating so much. I mean, how can you do
Absolutely. And in the past, all we had used to, you know, recommend those platinum-based antiperspirants, which, you know, again, platinum is a heavy metal. So I don't love recommending it for daily use for the rest of your life, but in the past, that's all we had. There was one that was an over-the-counter, but you had to ask the pharmacist for it, called CertainDry. It's a C-E-R-T-A-I-N, and then new word, D-R-I. It's still available in every pharmacy, and if you have mild hyperhidrosis, maybe that's a solution for you. Another thing we used to prescribe was a medicine called Robinol. R-O-B-I-N-U-L. This medicine was used for other things, such as to sleep, and it's an older medication from the 40s and 50s, and it does prevent this kind of hyperhidrosis, but it also makes people very drowsy. So it's kind of fallen out of favor as well. So then we discovered that this apocrine sweat gland is actually mediated by acetylcholine, which is the same thing that mediates the muscle contraction. So believe it or not, Botox and Dysport are the gold standard right now for treating hyperhidrosis. So I literally inject Botox into the area where the person is sweating in a certain fashion. It's a little bit different from injecting the wrinkles, technically, but essentially it disrupts, it upsets sweating so that you do not sweat from those areas at all for a period of 1 to 2 years after one treatment.
Really? Because, you know, Botox is like 9 months, 6 months, if you're lucky, for wrinkle relief.
Right. It lasts a lot longer for sweating. And it's immediate. Like within 1 to 2 days, you notice you're not sweating at all anymore. And what I find is I've been doing it for about close to 7 to 8 years now. And each time I do it, it seems to last longer and longer for the individual. So typically I tell people it's about 1 year or maybe one and a half. And then the second time I do it, it's 2 to 3 years. And then often the third time I do it for the patient, it's permanent.
All right. So, I mean, Botox is a muscle relaxant. So it sounds like it's also just sort of slowly killing that area that you're injecting it into. But, you know, isn't sweating important? Don't we need to release heat from our bodies, and our sweat glands are the way we do that? What are some of the risks of this?
So that's why I said that whole discussion earlier. We need our eccrine sweat glands to regulate heat. We're not injecting those. In fact, it's contraindicated to inject Botox into the nose or the facial, you know, sweating. Because of this, we need that sweating. We can't inject it into the neck for sweating. But for these apocrine places, such as the groin, the underarms, like I said, it's vestigial. It's a sort of we think it's some kind of K-man signaling system that we used to need that we don't need anymore. It does not regulate our heat in any way. So we do not need them, and it is okay not to sweat under your arms or in your groin or on your hands.
I don't think anybody wants to send those signals anymore. All right.
Exactly.
So we're saying under the arms, the groin area, and where else?
The hands and feet.
And the hands and feet. Okay. And then how much does something like that cost? Because I get Botox in the 11s, in between my eyebrows and my crow's feet and some of my upper brow. And I don't get a lot. I get like once a year, but I personally like to do it. And I used to, when I was on TV, I did it, and I still like doing it. I feel good about myself when I do it.
Sure.
But it doesn't last, and it's pretty pricey too. So how does someone with excessive sweating handle this? Is it covered by insurance, or do you just have to pay the amount, and is it more than just getting it cosmetically?
There are some doctors who will do the injections and submit it to insurance if the patient buys the Botox. Like, so they write a prescription and the patient has to pay for the Botox. Botox itself is $500 a vial. So you're paying for the, it's $550 actually. So you're paying, the patient's paying for the Botox vial, and then the doctor is injecting and getting reimbursed. I don't do that. What I do is I typically just charge the patient. And, you know, I always charge per amount of Botox that they need. And I know from experience in the underarms, it's anywhere from $750 to $900 to do both underarms. And so, you know, people pretty much happily pay that because of how long it lasts. It lasts so much longer than in the face that they're kind of fine with it.
Sure, sure. How long until we can get something that's a little more permanent? I mean, you said after two or three treatments, it's been your experience that you've noticed that then it sort of solves the problem. Is there anything that's in on the horizon that could just sort of zap this altogether?
There are two things. There's actually a company called Revance, which is coming out with a long-acting Botox, botulinum toxin, which is in phase three of FDA trials, where on the 11th, as you mentioned, it actually is about a 6 to 8 month longevity in studies. If it's that much in studies, we're thinking it's going to be more like a year to 2 years in practice. So then on the underarm, your first treatment should last 2 to 3 years, and your second treatment might be permanent.
That's on the
horizon is a new Botox.
A long-lasting Botox.
Mm-hmm, a long-lasting Botox. And then the other thing is there's a new microwave technology laser called MiraDry. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's MiraDry, and people can look it up. It hasn't caught on a lot just because people seem to be nervous about microwaving themselves, but the data seems pretty safe. Not a lot of doctors are doing it just because it's an expensive machine and it's hard to implement and that sort of thing. But that in the future might be something that is actually curative. We'll see. They have to improve the technology and all that. But that's in the future, too, I'd say. It's already out there, but I don't think the results are good enough that I haven't gotten it yet.
All right.
I think I do better with Botox and I don't have to buy them from a machine, essentially.
Right, right. All right. Well, very, very interesting. And I'm glad to know that there's something that people who have that challenge, that there's something they can do about it. Great, great information. And as always, everything you're telling us is so great and reliable. And I'm so glad that you share your time with us and carve out time to be here with us. If we want to know more about what you do, Manjula, how do we find out?
Please, I would love for everyone to listen to all our past radio shows, too, on our new iTunes channel. You can search hashtag Heidi Godman on iTunes. You can search hashtag Health Check or Health Check with Heidi Godman. And, of course, you can also search with my name, Dr. Manjula Jagasothy or Miami Skin Institute.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I want to say thanks so much for everything you're doing for everybody listening. Great to talk to you as always. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks again, Manjula.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Have a great day.
You too. All right, everybody. Bye. Again, if you want to check it out, it's MiamiSkinInstitute.com. And you can find out more about Manjula Jagasothy, a Harvard and Yale trained aesthetic dermatologist. She is just in everything. She's amazing. Love her. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to my great friend, Dr. Dean Sutherland. He's a prominent neurologist on the Sun Coast, and he has some very interesting news about a really cool new study that addresses falls and fall prevention using virtual reality. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be right back.